Get up.
What's up, sports psychos? We have a packed show for you today. We've got the Astros sign-stealing scandal. We're talking Pete Rose to the Hall of Fame. Maybe. Yes. Maybe no. We're talking about Drew Brees. Should he retire? Is he gonna retire? Tom Brady moving on from New England? And are the Bucks the best team in the NBA? But before we get into all of that, I have to start off by saying congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champs. I think it's a year late. I had you picked last year to win the Super Bowl, so congratulations, boys. Well done. Great game. Great comeback. Let me give some kudos to the defense, because I don't think they get enough respect. In all three of those comeback wins, everyone talks about Patrick Mahomes and how he went on a 51-7 run, how he went on a 21-0 run, how he went on all these huge runs to come back and win. Well, to go on those runs, the defense has to step up and hold the other team's offense to scoring 7 or 0 points. So congratulations to the Kansas City defense for stepping up when you needed to step up. And lastly on the Kansas City Chiefs, to my MVP of the game, Damian Williams, who I picked on my fantasy team, and my friend, you let me down all season in fantasy, but in real life, you were fantastic when they needed you, and most importantly in the Super Bowl, you're the MVP. No, I love you, Patrick Mahomes, but Damian, well done. And lastly, just kicking off, I wanted to quickly talk about there's a couple of NBA trades, but one that really stuck out to me was the Wolves and Warriors trade where D'Angelo Russell moved to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Makes a lot of sense. Point guard, good friends with Kat. Hopefully there's some connection there, some synergy, and Minnesota can really fulfill their potential, and Karl Anthony Towns can play up to his potential with D'Angelo. D'Angelo now kind of gets a team to run. I think it's a perfect mix there. But the one that's maybe being the part of that trade, I get the money. I get the money's big for Andrew Wiggins. I get it. However, I think it's a really good fit next year, right? We'll see what they do the remainder of this season. But next year, if, I know it's a big if you got a healthy Steph Curry, a healthy Klay Thompson, a healthy and productive and understanding the system, Andrew Wiggins, who you know, becomes, instead of being high potential, high pressure team leader to second, third, fourth option on a high octane offense team. Whew. Throw in Draymond Green and possibly Wiseman at the five. We can get some pieces for the bench, but as far as starting five goes, are the Warriors back? We're going to talk about that in future episodes, but I just wanted to put it out there. I think everyone's kind of sleeping on Wiggins a little bit. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's going to let me down like he's let so many other people down throughout the years who've thought, okay, this is his year. But I think we're sleeping on him a little bit.
Pete, I am a voter, and you should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's all right. I made that mistake many years ago. And, you know, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life praying that I go to the Hall of Fame. Right. If it ever happens, I'll be the happiest guy in the world. And I know all the guys since, I grew up 63. The first Hall of Famer I played against was Stan Musial. So I pretty much know all the guys that went into the Hall of Fame after 68 or 69, all the way up till today. And I played against most of them. I played with a lot of them. So I know all about the Hall of Fame. And there's some guys that should be in there. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I believe in steroids or anything like that. But Barry Bonds had a great career. Roger Clemens had a great career. You know, I'm not so much on Mark McGuire's bandwagon, because Mark McGuire was a home run hitter. So was Dave Kingman. You know, I mean, you got to be able to play the game of baseball. And some of these DHs, Edgar Martinez made it. He didn't own a glove. When I played, I had five different gloves. I played five different positions. I mean, how the hell can you tell somebody, I'm a baseball player, we'll go get your glove, we'll play out in the back. Well, I don't have a glove. Well, what do you mean you're a baseball player? I got a bat. That's a honeymoon, man. To be a DH in baseball, that's a honeymoon.
But, Pete, I have to ask you very honestly, you're a betting man. Would you bet that you will someday be reinstated and make the Hall, either posthumously or during your lifetime?
I don't think so while I'm around. I don't think so while I'm around, and I can't get... See, listen, guys, I was a player for 24 years, and I only worried about things I was in control of. I'm not in control of being reinstated. Hey, I like Rob Manfred. I think he's got a tough job.
That was the great Pete Rose speaking on the Dan Le Batard Show about a few people he believes should be in the Hall of Fame, and, in my opinion, why he should be in the Hall of Fame. So let's rewind a second and take out the name Pete Rose. We know what he did. He knows what he did. He gambled. He gambled on his team. He gambled on himself. It was wrong. He's been out of baseball for a long time. He's been out of the Hall of Fame for far too long. But let's remember a couple of things. We put people in the Hall of Fame based on their play. So, Pete Rose. Is his play Hall of Fame worthy? No one will argue, not one, that his play doesn't make him deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. For those of you that don't know, he had 4,256 hits. He had a .303 batting average. He was the MVP, Rookie of the Year, a 17-time All-Star, went to 3 World Series, 2 Golden Gloves, a Silver Slugger, 3 batting titles, and a World Series MVP. That's a Hall of Fame player. And honestly, I don't care what else he did. It wasn't as if what he did was like the Houston Astros, stealing signs. And we'll get to that in a minute. A few words from, I can't believe, I'm going to say Stephen A. Smith, who for the first time in my career, I agree with him. But we'll get to that in a minute. Back to Pete Rose. If he's solely to be judged on his play on the field as a player, he's a Hall of Fame player. Let's not wait for something tragic or just old age to catch up with Pete Rose before we realize he should be celebrated for his play. And at that time, we'll put him into the Hall of Fame. And you'll hear great stories about Charlie Hustle and what a great player he was to watch and how he was there every time and gave it his all. And if you take out the gambling, right, if you take that out, he by far is one of the greatest baseball players ever. And people will reminisce and tell stories, and that's what we should be doing. But let's not wait till he's gone. Let's appreciate his play now while he's alive. There's another notorious gambler. He plays basketball, or he played basketball. Now, he was never caught for gambling on his own team. I'll give you that. However, he would gamble on everything. Golf games. I'll say every other sport except basketball, because I don't know that he ever gambled on basketball. And he's the greatest basketball player of all time. And we're not holding that against him. I understand. I'm going to hear comments about, but he didn't gamble on his team. I get it. I understand. I don't disagree. But how long should that punishment be? Should it be for life? I don't think so. So here's my plea to baseball, to the fans. Let's get Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame before it's too late.
Should the Astros be stripped of their title?
Yes, they should. The title is illegitimate. I would encourage everybody in America to go to the Los Angeles Times and read Bill Plaschke, the great Bill Plaschke's column in today's Los Angeles Times. He is absolutely positively right on the money. They should be stripped of their World Series crown.
I very rarely agree with Stephen A. However, He's right. He's 100% right. The Houston Astros should be stripped of their World Series title. 100%. They cheated. They got caught cheating. They cheated to win those games in the playoffs. They cheated to win those games in the World Series. And the managers and the upper management who got fired shouldn't be the only ones. The players should be punished. The players are the ones who benefited the most from the sign stealing. So should we give the World Series title to the Dodgers? No, we shouldn't. They probably, and I believe they've said they don't want it. I hear that. But that year, the title should be stripped. It should be vacant. And I think the players, the investigation should go deeper. And the players should be punished for cheating. In my last segment, we talked about Pete Rose gambling and the punishment, I believe, being excessive for his crime. And this one, we're purposely letting the players off the hook. Who benefited the most from the sign stealing? Okay, the manager had a World Series under his belt. But it was the players that went out there and cheated and got the hits and got the glory. In some cases, got the contracts because of being World Series champs. Got the accolades, the endorsements. Why aren't we looking into the players? We'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But let's stick to the Astros as a team. A couple of questions you got to ask yourself. Did they cheat? Yes. Did they do it deliberately? Yes. Did they know it was against the rules? Yes. Therefore, strip them. I know it's a little bit different when we compare it to, because we get this comparison a lot, the Olympics. Someone wins the 100-meter dash. They get drug tested. They were on steroids. They get stripped, and the silver medalist becomes the gold medalist because they cheated. It's the same thing here. They cheated, therefore they need to be stripped of their title. I'm sorry, Houston. I'm sorry, Astros. I like you guys. You just didn't deserve to win that World Series.
I mean, a good, juicy off-season prediction.
You know what? I'm going to say Drew Brees retires. You know, I mean, the guy's played at such a ridiculously high level. He's accomplished a lot. I think as you watch him kind of interact, certainly around the Pro Bowl, had his kids around more. And I think that's the one thing people forget about when they talk about these quarterbacks that play into their 40s. They're missing out on a lot. And they're missing out on a lot as their kids are growing up. And so I think that's the one thing that can pull a guy away from the game. So I'll say that's the juicy nugget. Drew Brees walking away.
So that's the bold predictions. Is that Drew Brees is going to retire. I got to say, I disagree. I don't think they could be more wrong. I think Drew Brees has another 2 years, barring injury, obviously, another 2 years before he retires. I think that New Orleans has kind of publicly made the decision that Taysom Hill is going to be his replacement. So I think, unfortunately, they probably move on from Teddy Bridgewater, which is a probably good idea for, or lucky for some other teams who are in need of a quarterback, someone with, who's been in that Saints organization now for a few years, came back from that horrific injury, and I really think he could help a team out. Do I think Teddy Bridgewater is a franchise-leading Super Bowl-caliber quarterback? I'm hesitant, but I'm going to say no. But as far as Drew Brees is concerned, I think Brees has that another year or two with Sean Payton, right? They've got a team. They've got some offensive weapons in Kamara and Michael Thomas. Obviously, the way that they use Taysom Hill, still a good, almost great. I won't say great, but a good defense. So they still got a good shot in the NFC. It's still. Every year, the NFC seems to be wide open. The Saints always seem to be the team that's there. So the rest of the rest of the teams in that division tend to kind of flip-flop a little bit. You have a different winner in the NFC East every year. You know, the NFC North is tough. The West, obviously, San Francisco was dominant this year. A couple of years back, it was the Rams, right? So there seems to be a lot of kind of movement in the standings, but the Saints have been the one consistent. And I still think he's got a lot of love for the game. I still think he's got a lot to prove. And it's tough when you're that close to making it to the Super Bowl, right? You had the Minnesota miracle. You had the pass interference that wasn't pass interference call. You know, this year was a little cleaner, but you still, I guess you could say, offensive pass interference on Kyle Rudolph. I don't think it was. However, you know, it's been some tough losses in the playoffs for Drew. And does he really want to just walk away? So as a bold prediction goes, mine isn't that bold. It's Drew Brees is back with the Saints. I think they sprinkle in even more Hill if that's possible on the offense, maybe cut back some of his special teams and some other things that he does. And I think he stays with the Saints.
I'm going to go Tom Brady leaves via free agency. I think, you know, that whole little nugget of not being able to get tagged on his, you know, last contract. And I think Tom is in 20 years with New England, first time experiencing free agency, feeling the love and going through the process. A lot of people don't understand there's more than just Tom, Bill, and Mr. Kraft in this process. You have family at TB12 that's going to factor in all of this. And I think when it's all said and done, I think Tom will be in another uniform.
The second bold prediction was about Tom Brady. And Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots. I think it's kind of interesting because he doesn't have... If there's a chance for him to win another Super Bowl, and we're going to get to it a little bit later, a little bit more detail, but if he has another chance at winning another Super Bowl, I think, and Mike Greenberg, we'll hear from in a minute, agrees that his best chance to win another Super Bowl is by staying in New England. But that's kind of boring. That doesn't really give us much to talk about. So let's make the assumption that Tom Brady is going to leave New England. Right? What are the landing spots? I think it's 90-10, right? 90 that he's staying with the Patriots, 10%, which is maybe even a little high, 10% chance that he leaves his good friend, Robert Kraft, and his coach, Bill Belichick, and moves on. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into moving on that, you know, we might not think about, right? You obviously have to deal with a new coach. Is it a new offensive system? Right, different terminology. Obviously, the players around him have kind of been a revolving door in New England anyways, so I don't know if that affects him as much. He's done a great job of making some mediocre players, right, seem better than they actually are. And we know what he can do when he has star players around him, so that's obviously an opportunity here in this offseason for him to go to a team that has some stars. But you're picking up the family, you're moving the kids, you're learning a new system. Right, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not like he's only been in New England for 5 years and it's a change, or he's one of these quarterbacks who's, you know, had different head coaches and you know, he's used to those kind of new playbooks, etc. Right, he's had the same head coach for 20 years. Some offensive coordinators have changed for sure, but I think overall the systems kind of remain the same. I'm sure the terminology has stayed fairly consistent, and so We got to think about all of those factors too when we think about him making that decision. But it's still fun to talk about it. So we're going to let Greeny kind of tell us where he thinks he's going to land. And then I'm going to come back and give you one that I don't hear anybody talking about, but I think might be a really good option.
Five places I believe Tom Brady could go next season and win the Super Bowl. And I will start at number five with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think you have to find yourself first and foremost a division that you can win. That is the most important thing right now. No team has made it to the Super Bowl without a first round bye in the playoffs since 2012. That is a very favorable division. They have two outstanding receivers. They can run the ball and they play some defense. At number four, I put the San Francisco 49ers only because of all this conversation that has been out there about it being a possibility. I thought it was a real possibility, I would put them much higher on the list. Obviously, this is a team that was in the Super Bowl this year. They probably have the best defense in the National Football League. And they can run the ball like crazy with a good offense. All right, so at number three is the one that people seem to think could happen, and that's Tennessee, where his former teammate Mike Vrabel and close friend is the head coach. They run the ball like crazy. They play good defense. It's another favorable division. Don't love what I see anywhere else unless the Colts go out and get themselves a great quarterback. I like that spot a lot if winning is the key. Nothing would be more interesting.
No.
Than if Tom Brady went to the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not telling you that I think it will happen. But I'm telling you that if it did, I'd be the happiest person in the entire world. Because Tom Brady on the Cowboys equals ratings bonanza for everyone, including us. And all kidding aside, I think they're probably better off with Dak. But they don't seem to.
Yeah.
The best chance Tom Brady has of winning the Super Bowl next year is to stay right where he is.
Yeah.
And that is right in New England. I think he's playing this exactly right, and you were the first person who said it to me. I think he is doing what the NBA free agents do, what LeBron does, doing the one-and-one thing. You got to go out. Hey, Bill, I'm tired of throwing to these guys I've never heard of before in my entire life. I'm tired of making people who can't even play look a lot better. So go out and get me the weapons. You get him two offensive weapons with that defense, that coach, and that division, and Tom Brady has the best chance of anywhere of getting back to the Super Bowl.
So those are Greeny's top five landing spots. Not surprised that he put New England as number one, because obviously he's looking at it from a chances to win a Super Bowl. And I have no idea why Dallas is in there. No offense to my Cowboy fans, but that makes absolutely zero sense. Resign Dak, pay that man, and move on. You should not be talking quarterback in Dallas, period. So let's kind of move on from that. So we had a couple of good ones, but there's one, and I told you a little bit earlier, right? I was going to tell you one that wasn't on his list and one that I haven't seen a lot of people talk about. But let me kind of lay it out for you a little bit. So we know Tom Brady, he's a California kid. I know, Northern California, but he's a California kid nonetheless. And his wife is a supermodel. And she probably wants to live in California, would be my bet. Who doesn't? Let's be honest. Who doesn't want to live in California? I'd love to move back. That's a story for another day. So he's in New England. He sold his house. His wife's a model. He's from the California area. We'll say from the state of California. What team in California has quality wide receivers, quality tight end, a running back who can both run the ball and catch it out of the backfield, that would give Tom enough offensive weapons around him to be successful, but also has a defense, even if recently they've maybe taken a little step back, but has a defense that can hold up in a division that isn't, I don't want to say isn't hard. Every division is a tough division in the NFL nowadays, but an opportunity to win that division. And the answer is, well, pause, hold on. There's more. Doesn't have a bona fide starting quarterback today. Doesn't have a young quarterback, unless they draft one in the upcoming draft, ready to step in and take over. And that is the Los Angeles Chargers. Phillip Rivers is, by all intents and purposes, out. He's moved to Florida. Maybe on the next episode, I'll tell you where I think he's going. Dolphins. And now there's a spot open for Tom Brady to slide into California, slide into LA. He's got the face of a movie star already. Supermodel wife from Cali. He's got Keenan Allen. Hunter Henry will be healthy. Melvin Gordon. He's got the offensive weapons. Obviously, you still want to work on a couple of pieces. Obviously, you want to make sure the offensive line is tight, defense, etc. Sure. But he could slide right into that Los Angeles Chargers team, and they're instantly Super Bowl favorites. So, Tom, if you're listening, Chargers, if you're listening, if you're thinking of leaving New England, take a look at the Los Angeles Chargers.
I'm
with Giannis on this one. They are the best team in the league. They have zero flaws, in my opinion. I think when you look at their roster, they're complete. They have the Lopez brothers who's anchoring the middle, rim protection. You have Giannis who's rim protection. They all rank in the top three conversation in that category. You look at their point guard play. Eric Bledsoe is giving you 15-5-5. George Hill is their backup, which is pretty solid at the point guard spot. And they got a nice Batman in Chris Middleton who's shooting 50%. He's averaging a cool 20 points. He's playing his role. And you have nice role players. Wesley Matthews is playing great right now on both ends of the floor. Kyle Korver can shoot the ball.
DiVincenzo.
Yes, you have all these guys.
From a on-paper standpoint, they may be the best regular season team in NBA history. Their numbers even look better than the 73-win Warriors when you look at what they do offensively and defensively. The thing about it is, when I talk to players out there, they don't fear them. And maybe that's going to be something that Giannis hammers home and says, you're going to fear me in May and June. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be the case, but teams don't fear them. They, based on those stats, they should, though.
Hey, guess what? To those teams that don't, I feel sorry for their loss.
Are the Bucks the best team in the NBA? Are the Bucks the best team in the NBA? Sounds like the crew on the jump that thinks that they are. Why wouldn't they? They've got the best record. They've got arguably the best player in the league, top three at least. I think he's going to win the MVP award. They've got some role players that have really stepped up, right? So you got Giannis, which I don't need to tell you how great Giannis is. Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, Lopez, Hill, DiVincenzo's playing fantastic, Wesley Matthews. Good supporting cast for him. But what's the one knock? They lost some outside shooting in the offseason. And teams aren't, according to the guys on the jump, teams aren't afraid of them. Why aren't they afraid of them? Is it the box one that the Raptors so successfully used on them last year to knock them out of the playoffs? Well, was that about the scheme? Or was that about Kawhi? Can the Bucks play the type of playoff basketball when defenses get a little bit tighter, shots get a little bit tougher in the playoffs to win and make it to the finals? I don't think so. I think they'll make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's going to be very, very much matchup dependent, but I think they're vulnerable. I think that at the beginning of the year, they were my pick to make it to the finals. I'm starting to waver a little bit. I got to see kind of maybe how they come out of the All-Star break, and maybe I'll change my mind again, but right now I think they are vulnerable to a couple of teams in the East. I don't think the Raptors are a mirage. I think healthy, and that's going to be a big if because they haven't been healthy all year. I think the Raptors could give them a run for their money. I think a healthy Celtic team could give them a run for their money. I know the Sixers have been so, so disappointing this year. But if Joel Embiid can just figure out a way to stay healthy, hit the treadmill, eat right. I've been saying this for a couple of years with him. He's the one guy I think that can make a series tilt against the Bucks. So I think they're vulnerable to two or three teams in the East. Now, can Milwaukee pull it together and make it out of these? Yeah, possibly. But I think they're a lot more vulnerable today than I thought they were at the beginning of the season. Are they the best team in the league is the question, however. So we're just talking about the East. Do I think they could beat a Clipper team in a series? If they start clicking? No. I think the Clippers have really underperformed this year. Could they beat the Lakers? I gotta say no. I think the Lakers just, you know, have too much with LeBron and AD for Giannis to handle by himself. Because the rest of the guys, I told you, were really good role players who have been having a really good regular season. things change in the playoffs. So I'm going to go with my answer being, sorry to the guys on the jump, no. The Bucks are not the best team in the NBA. They're really, really, really good. They're up there. They're in the top tier. They're just not number one. That's another episode of the Sports Psych Podcast. Thank you for listening. Normally, at this time, at the end of the show, I do my segment I call I Can't, where I go on a little bit of a rant talking about things that I just couldn't handle in the world of sports, or I just can't take listening to anymore. However, this time I'm going to do something a little bit different because it leads us into something in regards to the show and how we're kind of going to add a component. I don't want to say we're changing it up because we're just going to add a piece. So about a week and a half ago, there was a tragedy. 9 people died in a helicopter crash. I think we all know who. And the story about how I heard about it is kind of interesting. If you heard my last podcast, you know, I read my essay that I wrote about how kind of my life and Kobe's touched but never crossed. And it's that day that it happened. I don't know if you recall, but earlier in the day, about half of the NFL teams got their Twitter accounts hacked. And I read a story about the Bears and how a sheikh from, I want to say it was Saudi Arabia, had taken over the Bears. He had bought the Bears, which obviously I could not believe. Later, obviously found out that it was because the Twitter account had been hacked. So kind of in that same timing, because it was shortly after that, I got a message on my fantasy football group chat that said, you know, about Kobe. And I thought, okay, this is just part of that whole whatever happened in the morning with, you know, the accounts getting hacked. You know, maybe TMZ's account got hacked and that's why they were reporting it before anybody else. So I kind of brushed it off, kind of made a joke about it and said, yeah, sure, whatever. I was actually in the mall with my wife. We were doing some shopping. She had gone off to another store. I was in line waiting to pay. And I saw her message on the chat saying, oh, I'm surprised this isn't affecting you more. I know how much you, you know, admired and looked up to Kobe. And at that point, I realized, this might be real. And that's when I went on and started looking and found out what had actually happened and broke down in tears in line. And it got me thinking, you know, days after about how Sports Psych was started to talk about sports and to talk about psychology and mental health. And we haven't gotten into the psychology as much as I would have liked to. So in the upcoming weeks, we've already lined up some guests, some psychologists, sports psychologists, mental health, wellness, gurus, and doctors. And we're going to bring them on and do segments and talk about mental health, right? Talk about people like Antonio Brown, Delonte West. Been watching the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix. Just all of those things that go into not just mental health for athletes in general, but specifically to athletes and former athletes such as myself, and how the toll on your mind and your body affects your future and ways that, more importantly, right, ways that we can be better and ways that we can prepare better and then handle the world after sports better. So that's going to be kind of something new that we add to the program. So I hope you guys are looking forward to that as much as I am. We're also going to bring in some data analysts. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network is going to join us in a couple of weeks and talking about predictive analytics. Hopefully I can say it better when she's on the phone. And we're going to go through kind of those things in terms of NBA, baseball, basketball. We're going to be adding a hockey segment for all my Canadians. So please send your comments, questions. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, AK Sport Psych. Or you can always email us at aksportpsych@gmail.com. And we'll be sure to get as many of your comments and questions on air. So appreciate your time. Thank you very much, Psychos. Talk to you later.